5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Welcome to the clown car. Car? The car. And you think we'd have this down. Welcome to the clown car.
Are we not starting
a
over?
Parenting podcast. We're a dad.
And a mom.
Talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are 4 kids. So do your research and find what works for you. So, hey there, fellow ringleaders. I'm Crystal.
And I'm Barry.
And obviously, we are really tired.
Not really tired.
I'm tired. I had like 2 naps today and I'm still tired.
Yeah. So, you know, well, we have stories about why you're so tired.
We do.
Oh.
But our 7-year-old is knocking on the door.
The door.
Because he won't go to sleep.
So, anyway, well, let's talk about some of our stories.
All right.
So, why are you so tired, honey?
Because it's been a long week.
It's a long week because one of the things that's been really tiring on us is both our 3-year-old and our 1-year-old contracted pink eye and
fever. And a slew of other things.
And fever and hives.
And throwing up.
Throwing up the stomach bug.
We are a melting pot of disgustingness.
So our 3-year-old definitely had it worse, but
by far.
Yeah. Well, tell them about your experience of lack of sleep.
As you go to rein in the 7-year-old. My lack of sleep. Well, the 3-year-old has been having a hard time with her stomach. There was one night where she came into our room. It was like, 12:30 maybe?
Yeah,
she came in just like a phantom in the night. It was just standing by the bed.
The phantom of the opera.
It's not even what I meant. No, she was so quiet. She was just standing there like it was like a nightmare, scary child just standing there. Uh-huh. And I was like, Lacey, are you okay? And
she didn't know my mommy.
She didn't say anything. And I was like, Lacey, are you going to throw up? And she shook her head no. And then I saw her like doing that convulsing like, and so I was so tired, I didn't know what to do. So I just shot my hands out and caught her as she caught her.
Half of her puke, anyway.
Not even half. It was like
a quarter.
Well, it all ran through my fingers onto the floor. I should have just let her puke on our floor. But so I caught it all in my hands. And then I just started screaming, Barry! Barry! Wake up! And so, although it was kind of nice because he was like, just stay there. I'll take care of it. So I just had to sit there and watch him clean up everything. And I was only in charge of cleaning up my hands, so it wasn't that bad. Well, it was disgusting. But I didn't have to do everything.
It's nothing that we haven't dealt with before. Puke has never bothered me.
Oh, puke bugs me.
I've always been the puke cleaner upper.
I know, maybe that's why.
Maybe I need to break you in more.
No.
Start cleaning some puke, honey.
I puked enough with 4 kids. I never wanted to do it again. But, so that was that. And then there was the other night where our baby woke. Oh, no, that's the 12:30. He woke up at 12:30 for some reason. And it was like he just woken up for the day. And I tried to rock him, and he was just alert.
Well,
so.
first we laid in bed for like 45 minutes, an hour, hoping he would go back to sleep,
and he never did. Or talking.
And so, you finally got out of bed like at 2 or something, or was it 1? It was like, I don't know, to go get him and help.
I don't remember.
But
I rocked him, and he wouldn't go back to sleep, so I was like, fine, I'm just going to go out in the living room with him. And we went out in the living room, and it seriously was like he just had a full night's sleep, because he was like, blah, 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 blah. Just pointing at everything and telling me these huge stories.
So I had to work in the morning, and so Crystal was wonderful enough to take him out to the living room so that I could. So he's. Because his room is right next to ours, so when he was crying, we could hear it very.
And his bed's like right up against our wall.
Our wall.
Where our heads are.
But, But so she's like, oh, I'll take him to the living room so Barry can get some sleep. But he was so full of energy that he was just like so cheerful that it still kept me awake for a little bit because he was still so loud.
Yeah, and then he's so loud. I was like,
stop being cheerful.
But he was so loud that he woke up Lacey, the 3-year-old. Oh, yeah. So she came out and was like, hey, still sick, but...
it's a party!
I know, and so she came out, and it was like 1, and she's like, let's watch a movie! And I wasn't going to argue, so you're I like, just okay. put on the dang movie. And we sat there and watched...
watch Color City?
The Color City. Color. The Heroes of Color
the
City.
The Heroes of Color City.
That's our new favorite. That's our new...
not ours,
but what's our kids' thing with crayons?
I know.
What's that other one that we...
The Color Crew.
The Color Crew that we talked about. Now it's Color City.
Now it's Color City.
They've evolved.
But this one's actually... I can...
it's okay.
I can enjoy this one. The Color Crew, no, but Color City...
at least they talk.
They talk, yeah. And they... yeah.
But... so, we watched the full movie. I was kind of dozing off
and on.
An
hour and a half.
And so, finally, after the movie, I was like, this is it. I'm trying to put this baby back in bed. And so, I put him in back in bed. But Lacey had been sleeping pretty much all day because she's been so sick.
All week.
I was like, whatever. Yeah. Good night, Lacey. Watch another movie.
Yeah.
So, I'm pretty sure she stayed up all night. But she... so, I went to bed at 3. And then I heard her screaming my name at 4, and I walk out there, and she was just laying there covered in puke. Like, she didn't even move.
It puked on our beanbag.
I know, our special beanbag chair.
Luckily, the cover is removable.
But it was like...
we washed it.
She was just so tired and not feeling well that she didn't even move. Like, she called me, and it's obvious she didn't even budge. So, it's been fun.
You had to clean that puke.
I did. Whoa.
There you go.
So, but I... so, this time in our house with the pink eye and the... oh, and by the way, Lacey had this weird eye crusty before we knew what was going on. It was like this glowing... it was like the color of a highlighter. I should have known that that was a good sign. But then...
Warning!
So, I just, like, cleaned her eye off and then I took her to a birthday party. So... I just...
it was the very first birthday party that she's
ever been invited to.
She by herself has been invited to. I know. So it was important.
But there were like 11 other kids there.
Well, no one else has come.
I'm just waiting.
No one else has had pink eye yet. So.
I'm just waiting. So we spread it around. We're like a, I don't know, like a zombie movie.
That's right.
That's how it spreads.
We're spreading the virus.
Children's birthday parties. So I feel really bad, but... then the next day, it was like, oh, that's pink eye, which we've never had before. Like, our kids have never had it, so it was a new experience.
Yep.
But, yeah, but it came with the fevers and the throwing ups and the...
Hives. Yeah.
That's been weird. That was scary, but it's apparently normal. Says the internet.
Yeah. Says the master of all knowledge, internet.
So, you know... great times.
So tell us your sick kid stories because we'd like to hear them.
Yeah. And I have to say, though, I have turned into a hypochondriac. Everything. Because...
because you have that, like, twitch in your eye and you're like, oh no. I have pink eye. I don't want to touch it, though. I don't want to touch it.
I woke up and I was like, Barry, look at my eyes. Are they okay? They itch.
And then, I was like I'm like, yeah, they're okay.
And then, we were eating dinner... and I was sitting next to the 3-year-old, and she has to sneeze. I see her building up for it, and right at the last minute, she turns her head toward my plate and sneezes on my food. So I'm eating it, and I'm like, there it goes. My health is gone.
Yeah, but I'm
going to die.
You've been with her all day,
I know, catching
all
vomit
week.
And wiping their gross
eyes. I think you're, like, mommy immune at this moment.
Yeah, you say that, and the next week, it's going to be sick mom on
I
the
I just
radio.
Hope I don't get sick this week. Because I have my business trip.
Oh, I know.
That'd be...
you know it's going
to
happen.
That'd be awesome to go there and be like, start puking while I'm at the event.
Why not?
At least I'll have a king-size bed.
He went on a trip in school.
Oh, man. Oh, that's right. That
and
happened.
Got super sick. You got the same
food
thing.
Food poisoning.
I don't think it was food poisoning.
It had to been.
It or was you like, just had the stomach bug.
Like the 24-hour bug.
But, so they're driving to an interview at work. This
let,
is like
let me
this
tell a story.
Year.
I want to tell
fine,
a story.
Fine,
it's my story.
Keep it short.
Yep.
We have a lot of stories to tell.
No, this is a good story. So because it's sick story. This is sick week on the clown car. So I had set up this whole student excursion to go visit businesses. And so we were on day two and we're driving to our first meeting of the day. And I had been throwing up all night. And I was just like, well, I have to go to these meetings because these are potential jobs that I could have.
I thought it was your first time to throw up. I think that was your first
time. No, it wasn't. I had thrown up a few times that night.
Okay,
like
whatever.
In the early morning.
I wasn't
morning.
There. I guess I can't.
And, and so we're driving on I-15 in Utah. So that's, you know, going about 70, 75 miles per hour on the freeway. Like four lanes of traffic. And luckily I requested that I had to sit in the passenger seat up front because I'm like, I'm not feeling well, guys. And then I'm like, we're in the middle lane, right? No exit. And I'm like, I knew it was coming. I'm like, I'm going to puke. And so I rolled down the window and I'm like, sorry, I'm going to puke now.
He's the front seat.
And I leaned out the car window and I just threw up like probably like four or five times. Going 70 miles per hour down the freeway. This is like morning commuter traffic too. So you know that hundreds of people saw me doing this. And then I get back in the car after I've, you know, well, I'm kind of still hanging my car, my head out the window. My first question was, because I was with a bunch of communication major students. And I get back in the car, I'm like, did anyone film that? And no one even had their camera out. And I was like, shame on you.
Okay, but the worst, but funniest, but grossest part of that whole story is that you weren't thinking and your arm was hanging out the window.
Yeah, well,
so you threw up all the way down your arm.
Yeah, well, when I thrust my body out the window, in order to get more of my body out the window, I had to like put my right arm out the window. And so, yeah, so when I threw up, my whole, from my shoulder down to the fingertips was covered in vomit.
Yeah, so what a great, fun, entertaining night tonight. Yeah. Telling all these great stories.
Cool, sick stories.
We should put a disclaimer. We should have. Disclaimer, gross stuff.
Well, I didn't know you were going to bring that story up.
I know. Well, I didn't know I was either.
All right. What's
so,
next?
So the worst part about this, because, I mean, we've done the
sick
thing.
Lack of sleep.
Ugh, yeah. Besides that, too.
Besides being tired.
Is that at this time, excuse me, at this time when the kids are sick and you're busy at work, is that we made that stupid goal to eat stinking freaking garbagey paleo. I am a stress eater.
I hate you right now.
I know. I hate myself too.
Don't worry, people. I don't really hate my wife.
Oh, paleo is the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I'm not a very happy camper right now.
It's been so hard because I am a stress eater. I am a bored eater. And I also like to eat for entertainment. And so, like,
me too.
All of those are gone. So I have no way to fill that gaping, miserable hole in my stressful, sick
like,
life.
At the end of the day, we're all stressed out and we just want something. And then I'm like, ooh, an orange. Yummy.
Yeah, orange slices. Yum. Which are good, but
they're good.
It's
I love
not
oranges,
the same. And the one day I was like so, so stressed out just dealing with Lacey and her barf issues. Was I went online and I scoured the internet for a stinking paleo dessert.
Yeah.
Something delicious, but all the stuff you have to go to like health food stores to make.
You have to have like almond flour or coconut flour or whatever.
Yeah, I've decided.
All these weird
things. If
they
don't sell it at Walmart, it's not worth it.
Yeah, that's right.
Or, you know, that little grocery store down the road. But so I finally found this dessert of paleo chocolate cookies.
Yeah, brownie cookies.
And so I've made them like every night.
and they're surprisingly, they're actually pretty good.
And I found this other recipe where you like bake a banana, but it has like almond butter and cinnamon. And so every night I like count down the minutes. I turn on the oven like half an hour before the kids go to bed so I can bake my banana because I'm so stressed out. It's not chocolate, but it works. So that's been the worst.
Yeah.
Working out in the morning, still not fun.
Well, we missed 2 days this week.
Don't tell him that. We're supposed to be rocks.
Well, it doesn't help that the one day we missed is the day that you were up all night with the kids.
Yeah, and then I had a major headache.
And then the other day we were up all night with the kids again. So
I know. Dang kids, they're our excuse for everything.
That's right.
So my question is it worth it? Because I feel insecure about the way I look because I'm not necessarily in the best shape. But I can also get instant gratification all day long.
She's smoking hot, people.
Oh, thanks.
Ignore her.
But I can either, so I can do that where I can eat whatever I want and feel gratified in the moment, or I can just be completely miserable and then one day I'll be gratified. I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah.
Think about it. Is being healthy really that worth it?
I think being healthy is worth it. I think crazy diets aren't worth it.
I know. Paleo because is not
you
fun.
You don't have to have a crazy diet to be healthy. You just need to.
Okay, that's true. I guess we've been extreme.
You just need to eat in moderation and exercise, and that will help you be healthy.
I went to lunch with my mom and some other ladies on Saturday, and my mom. And this place had the most, like, I walked in and heard this choir of angels on the desert, the dessert. Yes, the dessert display. I've never seen such a glorious display of desserts. It had like 6-layer chocolate cake. It was amazing, like a foot tall cake. Anyway, so my mom was like, hey, I'll buy this cheesecake, which is like 5 or 6 inches tall. I'll buy this cheesecake and we can split it.
See, but it's 5 or 6 inches tall, but how, like...
It was thick! Like
how wide is it?
Like a rick size.
A rick size, okay.
It was huge!
It better be.
And I was like, ugh, Mom. It's like the only time we've ever been to this restaurant. We probably won't go back for a while because it's expensive. And I told her, just for 2 weeks, I'm not eating this. And you suddenly slap this, like, amazing thing in front of my face. And tonight, there was hot chocolate at this event I went to, and I was prepared to say no to cookies and to, like, brownies, but I didn't think they were going to have hot chocolate. That's my favorite. This week is horrible.
I'm sorry.
Now, tell them about your adventures in paleo.
So, today, we didn't have anything prepared for lunch.
If you know what paleo is, or if you don't know what it is, it's basically, you just eat meat.
You can't eat anything good.
You like steak and stuff.
That's true. The meat part is good.
It's mostly, like, just meat and just vegetables.
Yeah.
With some fruit.
No, basically, no breads, rice, pastas.
Sugars.
So,
anything.
The good stuff.
I know. All things that make me happy.
Yeah. So, I was just like, oh, well, I'll try to whip something up.
Yeah, because I usually have some meat thawed for lunch.
Yeah.
And I forgot today.
And so, I was like, okay, well, we have some cans of tuna.
You looked the recipe up online, didn't you?
And I looked up, it was like on the paleo website.
Ugh.
And found this, like, tuna salad that you're supposed to just, like, eat, like, with a spoon. And I
like how you're saying that, like it's a shocking thing.
And
eat it with a spoon.
Eat it with a spoon. But so I made this recipe of this tuna salad and gave it to my wife apprehensively. And then I was like, okay, let's try this. And it was awful. It was not good at all. But I ate my whole bowl because I was hungry. But I wasn't happy about it.
I ate it, but I wasn't happy. Now, what was nice is that you gave me that little, like, disclaimer before you handed me the bowl of this, like, tuna sludge.
Yep.
That you're like, I understand if you don't like this.
I'll be like, I am not going to be offended at all if you do not like this.
And that was nice because then I didn't have to be like,
honey. She took a couple bites and she's like, well, maybe if we put some extra seasoning in it. And she put that and then she's like, nope. I'm good.
It was disgusting. Now, we like tuna sandwiches.
I like tuna.
But you have to
I like it with mayo.
You have to, like, sludge that sucker in there.
And then you, like, put cheese on it, and then you make it in a grilled cheese tuna melt.
Yeah, you have to put butter and mayonnaise and
sounds
grill that
good
sucker.
Right now. That way.
Yeah, but a tuna salad.
Without mayo. Like, it was just, like, bland tasting.
I would almost rather eat cardboard.
Oh, wow.
It probably has the same flavor, but better texture.
I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, so that was my adventure of paleo awesomeness.
I've kind of enjoyed cooking for it, but it's just too much cooking. Yeah. I don't want to cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, like...
I barely do dinner on a regular night.
Breakfast, we usually just like, hey, let's have some cereal, because cereal's awesome. And lunch is like, hey, lunchtime, that's sandwich time. And then you cook a nice dinner. But with the paleo, like, they almost force you to cook every single meal.
Breakfast, let's have a meat and vegetables. Like, lunch, meat and vegetables.
Meat and vegetables.
Oh, dinner's going to be a surprise.
Meat and vegetables.
Ugh. Anyway.
And then snacks, fruit. So if anyone listening does do the paleo and they swear by it, drop us a line because we'd like to hear your stories of your paleo adventures.
Yeah. And don't judge us if we don't stick to your paleo love. I love
food.
Like, but we said that we were only trying this for 2 weeks to like kickstart us into better eating habits.
You know why we like food? One, it's delicious. And two, it releases endorphins.
Which makes our marriage awesome.
That's right. I mean, the vacation...
Food plus you plus me equals love.
The vacations we talk about going on are foodcations.
I know.
Like, we just want to go and hit up, like, all the best restaurants wherever we go.
Yeah, we were planning our anniversary, and we kind of want to go to this cool little, like, tourist spot. So we drove through it a while ago, and that's why we thought of it. And so we got online to price, like... The
bed
the
and breakfast
and stuff, yeah. And then it led to like, let's see what restaurants there are. And we were already like pricing their menus
and like figuring out where we wanted to eat.
And our anniversary is 8 months away. And that's what we were doing for our anniversary, was planning our food. So,
because we love food.
I know, it's sad.
It's not sad, it's awesome.
Well, I think we've paleoed your ears off.
Yeah,
we've paleoed our own ears off. Maybe we'll paleo some belly fat off before this horrible ordeal's over.
One more week.
Yay.
Yay.
No more tuna. Anyway, I have a couple quick stories before we continue. Let's see. So, Lacey in her sickness. I hope you guys heard last week's episode because Lacey was sick and she fell asleep on the floor. And our one-year-old... You know, he doesn't really know what he's doing. And he just, like, trampled over her face in her sleep. And she woke up crying and had this big scratch on her face. And so I went up to her and I was like, in my baby voice, like, oh, Lacey, what happened? And she just grabs her face and she goes, my mutter scratched me. Like,
nice.
Even her delirious sickness, she's still pretending that she has this weird mutter. And then we were folding laundry yesterday together. Or Friday, but we're folding laundry. And she's just sitting there helping me fold the washcloths. And she's like, I just can't wait to go to my mutter's house, and telling me all about her. And I was like, I hate your mutter. I can't compete with her. I just want
to. She's too perfect.
I know. I'm like, fine. So, I don't know. That's been really frustrating. And I want to come up with, I have an alternate three-year-old. To make her feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, well, I can't wait till my three-year-old daughter comes. My utter daughter.
My utter daughter.
In your face.
Take that.
So anyway, the utter mutter. She can't wait to go there. But she scratches her face. She's okay with that.
I guess so,
I just have this fear that she's going to say that in public. Like, my mutter scratched me or something weird. And then people are going to be all...
Child services.
Uncomfortable. That's like a fear. So anyway, but, my mother did it.
Jay today, we mentioned it last week, her loose tooth came out today.
Yay!
Her first lost baby tooth.
Oh, we need to tell the tooth fairy to visit her room.
Yes, we will. We will get on the phone with the tooth fairy and let her know.
Yeah. So, quick story. My one-year-old threw my expensive makeup in the toilet.
What?
That's like expensive to me. It was like $9 and he threw it in the toilet. So what did I do? I just pulled it out, wiped it off, and kept using it.
That's why it was wet, huh?
Yes. I didn't use the pat. It was my foundation.
Yeah.
Like the powdery kind. So that was a big bummer. I got rid of the sponge, though. That's too gross.
You're still beautiful.
Oh, thanks. Because I have toilet
face. With your toilet face.
It's my secret ingredient. Toilet face.
Toilet water, people. That's how you exfoliate.
That's how you do it. So that was really frustrating. Because I was like mourning it. Like, why? Why? And he didn't know what was going on. He probably thought it was a game and was going to do it again. Another quick story.
You don't need to say it's a quick story. They're here to listen to us.
I guess that's true.
Just tell your stories.
Fine. Well, then how do I segue into my other story?
Just say...
Pause for a minute.
Be like, oh, something else happened.
What's the difference? Am I bothering you with my quick stories? Silence.
Let's
anyway,
go.
I went to this older lady's house with teenage children with a friend. And my friend had a baby with her, and she started crying. And she's like, oh, sorry, she's crying. And the lady said, just enjoy it while you can, because these are the best moments. These are the best times. And I was like, oh, there it is again.
There's that saying.
But then she went on to tell us, like, what she's going through with her teenagers. And then at lunch, I told you on Saturday, I went to lunch at that place. And that mom has a teenager, and she was telling me about her drama. And I'm beginning to think that they're right.
Enjoy this childhood because it gets worse.
That scares me.
Those of you that have teenager kids, let us know what your opinion is on the matter.
Or just, I don't know. I still don't like hearing it because I don't like the tantrums and the diaper changings and the blah, blah, blahs. But
and the blah, blah, blahs.
Yeah, that's the worst. But so yeah, I had someone right after I had talked about that on the show. It made me laugh. So, let's see.
We have been being pearler bead crazy this week.
Yes, I made all three Doctor Who's.
The new ones. The 9th, 10th, and 11 Doctors.
Yeah.
I made Link from The Legend of Zelda today. Grayson has made two Pokemons and a My Little Pony and Anna from Frozen.
For his sisters.
For his sisters. But he made
He's
the
Pokemon. Not weird.
And yeah. But we realized we bought a big container of 11,000 beads, but they're mixed.
And we thought,
and it took us like all week.
We finished today.
To sort them all.
Started last week.
And so we've determined we're just going to buy them all as individual colors now.
It's not worth it. Although it was still fun.
It was still.
Like today, it was almost, like we said, this should be punishment. For our kids, like, go sort your beads.
Just like, if they're punished, you just, like, take the bead container and just dump it on the floor and
sort
be like,
those.
Sort this.
Because, well, A, they enjoy it, and B, they were so calm and quiet.
Jay enjoyed it.
Yeah, we sat there as a family, sorting our beads.
Sorting our beads. Do you have the pink one?
It was perfect. So, yeah, that should be our new punishment. Or not punishment, but like your cool down time.
Yeah, calm down.
Like if our kids are crazy, go sort your beads.
Sort your beads, calm down.
So anyway, we should log that away for future.
All right.
Usage.
If we try that, we'll let you know how it goes.
Okay, so we kind of came up with a topic today. We haven't been doing that lately.
Topic.
Ooh, nice. We should have some theme music.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Topic.
Yeah. So, okay. I have some stories, but I won't say that they're short. So, the other night, these are some issues I've been having. The other night, Barry and I have been watching Doctor Who.
Are you gonna share the story?
Yeah, I am, because it's funny.
It is funny.
Well, so I was getting ready. The kids were getting ready for bed, so I got it to the part where it starts the show. Paused on Netflix, so we would be ready. That's how stressed out
so
I was.
So we could just sit down and press play.
Our kids were so... I was just so done that I already had the TV prepped. And our... I bet my banana was already in the oven. But, so the kids came out, and we were doing our little bedtime ritual. And our one-year-old comes, and he accidentally pushes play to the movie. So it makes this noise, and the kids look... And before I can pause it again, all they can see is this alien face. And if you know Doctor Who...
You paused it on the alien face.
Well, I did on accident. If you know the movie, it's like the silence aliens.
The ones that if you're not looking at them, you forget them.
Yeah,
they look like
they're scary.
They look like classic aliens,
they're like
though.
Scary movie aliens, not like happy.
Yeah, not happy.
Mars Attacks no. aliens. But they're like, it was so freaky. So they look, and both of our older kids scream, and I pause it, and I hurry and like get it off. And I start laughing so hard because it terrified them. But our 7-year-old, I have to talk quiet in case he's still awake. Our 7-year-old just burst into tears, like sobbing.
Yeah.
Because it scared him
well,
so
bad. And I didn't know what happened. So I come down the hallway and all of a sudden I see him just like bawling. I'm like, what happened?
His alien face. So then he was like, are those real? And I had to explain like, no.
It's just a person with a mask on.
Yeah, I'm like, aliens. Don't exist like that, and well, I don't believe.
Let's not get in that.
Let's skip that. But anyway, I had to have a conversation, and so now he's terrified of those scary aliens. But then, so we've been watching a whole lot of TV this week with all the sick kids. So
because yeah, that's just like the thing you do. You watch TV and you play games while you're sick. That's what I did when I was growing up, and it made me happy.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, let's do something educational, because I'm so sick of just these mind-numbing...
Sort perler beads?
No, on the TV. And so I put it on this animal show, and all the kids, even our 1-year-old stops and is watching it, because it's showing all these seals on a beach. And then it's like, and all of a sudden, the mother must leave to go get food. So the mom wanders off, and there's this cute baby, and all of us are like, oh, it's so cute.
Oh, it's the baby seal.
And then all of the seals around it turn on it and start, like, ripping it apart. And everyone's like, ah! Just freaking out.
You didn't tell me this.
So they kill the seal. And so they're like, Mommy, stop it, stop it. So I get off the movie, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. So I browse, and I find...
Way to be educational, honey. Hey, children, you want to watch the baby seal get eaten alive?
Oh, my gosh. It was horrible. And so I explain, like, yeah, well, that happens in nature. Yeah. So animals have to
animals
eat.
Kill each other.
Yes, they eat the cute babies, but... So then I'm like, okay, let's find another animal show.
That mother was neglecting her child.
Why would you leave... But anyway, so I get on this other animal show, and it's about these monkeys, and...
Really ugly monkeys.
Yeah, it's like the ugliest monkey in the world. Literally, that's what they call it. And then all of a sudden, it shows their monkey privates, like, hanging out. And in every animal show I've ever seen, they always, like, bleep that out because it's for kids. And so, I mean, it was like, bam! In your face, monkey.
Privates.
I'm trying to keep it clean. Yeah, just, you know, their thing. And so my kids all start laughing and screaming again. So I have to turn it off again. And I was like, well, all animals have a pee-pee.
Everybody poops.
I know. So I had to explain it. And I was like, holy cow, this 1 week of my kids being sick, I've introduced them to scary aliens and dead baby animals and monkey privates.
Baby seals. Not just animals, but baby seals.
Oh, and then we watched the little sweet bed knobs and broomsticks. And I had to explain what Nazis were, because they weren't getting why they were coming.
Yeah.
So I was like, this week, I'm like ruining their innocence.
This is, here, World War II, kids. Let's talk about genocide.
Okay, we didn't go into that, but I had to explain the Nazis. And, oh, I just like, I look back and I'm like, what did I do to my poor kids? So that's what I wanted to talk about. Because I feel like we are pretty, what's the word?
Pretty good.
I feel like... We are maybe even more so...
We moderate our media of our children...
Like Nazis.
Like Nazis. No. No, like...
Wordplay.
No, I think we do a pretty good job. But that's what we want to talk about. We want to talk about media and what kind of media do you expose to your children? At what age do you expose them?
Well, I don't
think
we're going to talk about age.
No? Okay.
But... So, my thing is I'm pretty firm on we don't watch, like, I don't like my kids watching violence or, I had a hard time the first time our oldest watched Power Rangers. They're, like, punching people in the face, like, just because they're good guys doesn't necessarily mean that's the best way to do it.
They're fighting monsters. It's always the best way to do it.
So anyway, so I'm pretty, I don't know, I just feel like kids don't need that. So we're going to talk about some of the things that we researched about, and then you let us know what you think. So, drum roll.
Oh.
Start us off. Or do you have thoughts? Am I supposed to lead this discussion?
Go for it. You're in charge of this one.
Okay, well, here's the one. Most people, there's an argument that viewing violent media can make your kids violent. But that's not necessarily what I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about the other part where, like, from kidshealth.org, they say kids who view violent acts are more likely to show aggressive behavior. But here's the part that I thought was interesting. Also, fear that the world is scary and that something bad will happen to them.
So you're making your children paranoid if you let them watch violence all the time.
Well, you know, I read that and I laughed because when we were first married, we watched CSI.
All the time.
The whole, like, well, until it got different actors, but
yeah.
We watched like 9 seasons of CSI.
No, yeah, we didn't watch that much.
I feel like it went on forever. But just think about it, because all of a sudden, you watch every day.
Every single episode, you're watching about someone getting murdered.
I know, so I feel like when I go on car trips, I like watch the side of the road just expecting there to be a dead body.
But then we watch Bones, too.
And it's the same thing.
It's just like, am I going to open my trash can and find a dead body?
I know, any crime drama, I always, especially on road trips, I'm always like, where is it? There's got
to
be one.
Instead of looking for deer on the side of the road to warn me while I'm driving, we're looking for dead bodies.
Dead bodies. I always am like, someday there's got to be one, because it seems so common. So if you think about it, even as an adult, please tell me I'm not alone in this, but it's true that the world is scary and something bad will happen to them, or you're going to find a dead body. Or you're going to be eaten by zombies.
Yeah, it could totally happen.
Could. That's my thing. Watching shows like The Walking Dead. And I'm talking about with, like, little kids.
Young kids, yeah.
And everyone has an opinion. And
we want to hear your opinions, too.
Yeah, this is just ours.
Like,
our kids don't even watch PG-13 anything.
No, we have not let our kids watch a single PG-13 movie yet.
And we screen their PG movies.
Not even the superhero ones. We've talked about when we think our oldest will be ready for a superhero movie. And we might wait until he's, like, 10 or older before we expose him to something like that.
Because it's PG-13.
I know. But superhero movies are...
It's good versus evil.
That's
like
right.
Like, cut and dry.
Yeah.
But that's different. Anyway, so, and then the other thing says, simply telling your kids that those images aren't real, like me with the aliens, won't console them because they can't yet distinguish between fantasy and reality.
Their little brains can't comprehend it not being real.
Yeah.
They truly believe what they see as reality.
Or they just don't know or don't understand. Like, I remember when my older brothers snuck to the TV after my parents went to bed and started watching Chucky. Nice. Child's Play, is that what
Child's
it's called?
Play,
Child's
yeah.
Play. And I mean, we were really young and I was tiny and I knew they wouldn't want me to watch it with them. So I sat behind the couch and like leaned out the side and watched the whole movie as like a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old. I remember going to bed, and I had these, like, porcelain dolls, and they freaked me out. I had to put them in my closet. Even though, logically, I'd never seen them come alive, but I had to put them away, and I still kind of hate them because they're kind of creepy to me still.
I've never liked porcelain dolls.
Well, but what I'm saying is you don't really know fantasy versus reality.
Well, and it's true, and I remember as a kid watching some scary movies, and like walking down to my room and, you know, and I had a basement room and I just remember like I swore I saw like monsters and stuff like that. Like, and I would always like hurry and ran to my room because I'm like, oh, there's something behind me.
I know. So in my opinion, why I don't want to be part of that problem. Like, I don't want to push that on my kids. I want them to have their happy Care Bear world for as long as they can.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my opinion.
Yeah, and something else that we saw was that kids, the average American child, will witness over 200,000 violent acts on television by the time they're 18.
That's from kidshealth.org again.
So 200,000 violent acts. Now, they didn't really specify what a violent act was, whether that's, you know, I mean, is it?
We can picture that.
You can figure what a violent act would be, but I mean, sometimes people go way extreme and say, like, you know, like in NCIS when he smacks him up the side of the head as like, stop doing that. That could be considered a violent act because he's hitting someone. But still, 200,000 views of violent acts by the time you're 18. It's just like prepping your kids to be paranoid.
Yeah, I wanna try and put that off as long as I can. Well, I have a say in what movies they're picking.
But I want
it to be appropriate.
But it's interesting because our kids watch violent acts.
What do you mean?
Like one of Grayson's favorite shows right now is Lego Ninjago.
Oh yeah.
And technically they're fighting, punching each other and fighting with weapons, and those are violent acts. Yes, they're Lego characters and he knows that those aren't real, but you're still watching violence in a way. Or there's certain video games that, you know, are age appropriate, you know, to the rating, but they're still like, you know, even Angry Birds could be considered violent if, you know, because you're,
that's true,
you're blowing up pigs. So, I mean, just stuff like that. You don't think about that. It's just like, oh, wow, this simple Angry Birds game could be considered violent because people are like, hey, let's throw stuff at pigs.
Well, and not even that, but like, I remember when Twilight was really popular, and I remember hearing Robert Pattinson, someone asked him in an interview, what's the weirdest thing that a fan has done or asked or whatever? And he said a little girl came up to him and in all seriousness asked him to bite her. Like, just weird.
Yeah, she's like, suck my blood.
She just said, bite me. And like, she wanted that because she saw it in a movie and probably saw that, you know, he's like the love interest.
Or read the books.
Or yeah, yeah. Well, I guess we're saying media, so that encompasses
media everything. Is everything. So,
I like our kids. We haven't even let them see Harry Potter yet because it's scary.
Yeah, if you remember the first movie, at the end of the first movie, that's a freaky scene with the, you know,
the two-headed guy,
the two heads thing. That's kind of freaky.
I know.
Or in the forest when he's, you know, killing the unicorn.
Yeah. So that's just our opinion, but I mean, obviously, there's some.
Some studies.
There's some studies that back us up. And the other thing was, in a 1999 study, for instance, highlighted that scary movies can have a damaging impact on children and teens. The research found about 52% of children had trouble sleeping or eating after watching. The eating surprised me.
Yeah.
I've never watching had a problem eating.
watching a frightening film or TV.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I can... Wow, this is like triggering all these memories. Like, like I remember
my childhood
when I went to see The Ring.
Oh yeah, The Ring.
I know some people didn't think it was scary, but that movie freaked me out. And I went home and I crawled in bed, and it was dark in my room, and there was a TV at the foot of my bed, and I couldn't sleep. I just sat there all night, like staring at the TV, just waiting. So
what the movie that freaked me out the most as a kid growing up was a movie called Fire in the Sky, and it was about an alien abduction, and that movie freaked me out as a kid, and I was paranoid for like ever that I would always watch my window, and I'm like, there's going to be an alien's going to walk by my window.
So would you say that you had a fear that the world was scary and that something bad might happen?
Yeah, I would totally agree with that.
See, and I mean, now it's not like you have this weirdo fear of aliens.
No.
But it affected you as a child, right?
Yeah, totally.
And I guess that's people's argument. Like, maybe you can still be functioning adults, but... And I know we've had a...
Now, some people may say that we're not functioning adults, but, you know...
What? So, our son... like I've said before, I volunteer in his class, and one of his students, or one of the students was telling me about this awesome movie that they saw, and it ended up being this horribly graphically violent rated R movie. And it wasn't like, I mean, some people justify like World War II movies or historical ones are important for your kids to see, but this was
not
like,
until they get older.
This was like Joe Schmo fantasy garbage, and the critics actually panned it because it was too violent.
What movie was this?
Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Oh, that's right.
And I was like, you poor kid. And this kid is the one that also has a problem with saying bad language, and he kind of has some behavior problems. So,
and we're not saying that just watching those movies are what caused that. But
I wonder.
But they probably contribute to.
Yeah, I mean, he's a sweet kid. I actually think he's adorable. But I just wonder, like, how much of his behavior and his language and choices that he makes are based on, like, bad, scary, or even just inappropriate things that he sees on TV.
Yeah.
Or in movies. So, I don't know. But just something to think about. There was a study called the Payne, P-A-Y-N-E, the Payne Fund Studies, which was developed by the Motion Picture Research Council. And they did a 5-part study on kids. And they focused on information, developing attitudes, stimulating emotions, affecting sleep, and influencing conduct. But what I thought was interesting, that they said, let's see, they found out that 8-year-olds will catch 3 out of every 5 things that parents see in a movie. This means, for example, that if there are 20 murder scenes, then the child will remember 12 of them. The next thing that they learned was that the 8-year-old will remember 90% of what they saw in the movie 6 weeks after they saw it. And 3 months later, they still remember the same amount. So just think about that. Like, your kid is retaining
what are you ex-
it all.
Yeah, what are you exposing your kids to? Because they remember people. It's at that age, you know, age 8 is when they're sucking in that information, where kind of like more of their long-term memory will kick in.
Well, and what's interesting is when I was researching this, and we're not doing this to say we're better parents, but I just, it just like seeing the alien, like, yeah, and the dead baby seal.
And like
I just wanted to look at,
like we say on our show, our ways are not the only ways, but we're just saying what our thoughts are, but we also want to hear your thoughts too.
But what was interesting is because it kept saying like children don't know the difference between fantasy and reality. So I looked up like when does that happen? And most people say at 8.
12. I was totally guessing.
At 8, you can kind of start realizing what's real and what's not. But some articles were saying 12. And then some were saying, well, your frontal lobe or whatever is not developed till you're 25. So they were saying, even up until you're 25,
you have a hard time.
You have a hard time. And a lot of people pattern their lives after what they see in film. Oh, that was the other thing.
I'll read it.
Wait, but anyway, the one article I thought was interesting was they were using the argument that your frontal lobe or whatever, I think it was the frontal lobe, isn't developed.
It was on one of those lobes.
Do you remember that those two girls that stabbed the girl saying that Slender Man told them to do it? That internet thingy? And so the argument was, well, they don't know that fantasy is...
They can't differentiate reality from fantasy.
And they were like 15,
yeah,
I think. They might have been 12.
They were teenage girls.
But, so, I don't know. It's just an interesting thing. So, personally, if they're still saying that murderous teenagers don't know the difference between reality and fantasy, I don't want to push any of that on my kids.
Yeah.
Like, I want them to just watch their sweet little shows.
So, one of the other parts of the study that we said was the influencing conduct. And they said that they found that they studied 2,000 children. And one major of the influencers of patterns of play are films. And so what they were saying is that when kids are even when kids are pretending, a lot of the things that they use to pretend with are materials that they get from the things that they watch.
Well, it's like, how often do our kids play like princess? Like, yeah. I'm Ariel. Come swim with me.
Well, and I remember we had, when we lived in a different town, we had some friends and their kids, they played Spider-Man, and the young boy who
They're
was
like five,
he was like 5 or 6, and he hung upside down, And he's like, hey, let's do the Spider-Man kiss. So, I mean, just like, they were influenced by the Spider-Man movie. They wouldn't have known to do the upside down kiss thing, but, you know, they were just playing around. I mean, it's not like they were being, like, sexual or anything. Yeah, they were just...
Just saw it in a movie.
They just saw it in a movie and thought it was funny or fun, and so they were just...
If Spider-Man does it must be okay.
That's right. So just also take that into consideration, that the media that your kids are exposed to, they use in their daily lives to play and interact with others.
Yeah, so let us know what your thoughts are, because those are ours. And thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star.
A gold star.
Just for trying.
Just remember, our ways are not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You are.
You are. So you can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook and on Twitter at The Clown Car. And you can email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes. And until next time,
enjoy your circus.